Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. We're here to tell our stories. We love it when you tell your stories and we share your stories too. We're here to laugh with you, cry with you, cringe with you, and of course, bring some levity to your day. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red. Beat Red. How was your week? Oh, I did it first that time.
That was too fast. I don't like it. That was too fast.
We never talked about Elliot's birthday. That's what I was going to say, actually.
Oh, it was fun. It was fun. It was a bowling party.
So cute.
All the kids were like rolling them down and watching them get, you know, knocked out. And then the bumpers were up and then the parents were there. And then, you know, it was an adventure. It was an adventure for sure. And that's it. That's all I can say. I don't remember what happened. I was like running around,
it was a whirlwind. So
this place in Glendale called Back Alley Bowling, and bless them because they did everything. They decorated, they got the food out, they got the party favors, they did the cake, they did everything.
That's so, so nice. You don't have to worry about all that.
Oh, it was the best. And then all the kids were just like fascinated. There were so many three-year-olds there that had not ever bowled. So,
aww.
And Elliot kept like cutting in front of the kids, being like, it's my birthday. Like, taking their turn. And I had to be like, Elliot, no. You share.
But what can you say? It's their birthday. You got to be like, give it up for the birthday boy.
I know.
Step aside.
They made an announcement.
Step aside.
They made an announcement. They were like, Elliot, over the loudspeaker. And then it was really loud. I will say that. It was very loud. Like,
yeah. You know,
all those like crashing pins and whatnot. But it was fun.
That's
fun.
Nice.
Thanks for asking.
That's
what about you?
Good.
How is it going over there?
How is it going? Oh, well, I am. So I know that I've talked about in here how I started my powder room and I took the mirror down and then I sort of just gave up.
I never saw anything again.
Yeah,
no one did
because nothing happened. Like I fully was just like, I can't deal with this right now. I have to do drywall. I have to fix the grout. I have to fix the caulk. Like there's so much to do that I just like pretty much got to fix the caulk. I just gave up on it, like fully gave up on it. And I'm like, shit, I need to do this. But I just booked a partnership for the hardware, the faucet. And so now I'm forced to do it. I need that. Like I'm the kind of person with my ADHD, like I'm good with deadlines because I need something to like give me a swift kick in the ass and make me do it. And I will power through and like get it all done. So now that I just booked that, I'm like, oh shit, I gotta do it. So I'm forcing myself to do it. Yeah. So,
okay, so
I have to.
Tell me what you gotta do.
I have to fix, like, essentially, like, put drywall on where everything is, like, ripped off from the mirror. Then I have to fix, like, they're all the grout and the caulk in the tile is, like, all cracked and discolored. So, like, I have to basically, like, strip that all and redo it on the tile for the sink because it's, like, a tiled sink. So then I have to paint the ceiling, paint the cabinets, paint the door, paint the trim, and then I have to wallpaper every wall. And then I have to, I got this grout pen that's like a brick color because the paint that I'm doing is a brick color and there's no like grout that color. So I'm going to color the grout and hopefully that looks good. We'll see.
Oh, 100%. But, that'll look good. That'll look great. That's a great idea. I didn't even know they made that.
So that's all the stuff I have to do. And so I'm going to be busting my butt the next like 2 weeks to get that all done. So I
You're
will have a reveal
it.
For you guys. By the time this airs, hopefully it'll be a reveal of at least I'll have some, you know, because it's going to be a few part series. So I did two parts of the series and then the series just disappeared. So I'm getting back to that. And Mirage hung a light in my bedroom today, which was very nice. And see, like, I'm like, you can do it. Like, he did it.
Yeah.
He did a great job.
He's doing, I mean, he's like learning whatever he needs to learn for the process.
He's a pool tech. He's an electrician. I'm like, come on. Like, you can be my like sidekick here and do all these DIY projects. So
I just want the listeners to know that I work a full-time audio engineering job, 60 hours a week, plus do this podcast. So being someone's sidekick right now, not going to happen.
Yeah, he did a great job on that. And I have a new light and I'm getting a rug and like trying to get little finishing touches together on the bedroom. And then I'll have to start tackling after this powder room. I hope to start tackling something new, either the guest bedroom or my office. Like, I just, there's so much to do. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to do some new things around the house. So that's what I've been up to.
That's so exciting. That's but awesome.
Yeah. Have you been reading anything cool, eating anything cool, drinking anything cool, watching anything cool? Movies, TV?
I've been watching Hacks, and tonight I'm going to watch Song Sung Blue. But Hacks, I love, they're just addressing AI. And I heard that The Comeback is addressing AI, which I really like.
I haven't seen
AI
either of those.
AI is really, I mean, it's good in many ways, but it's also bad for writers and creatives.
I do have a book that I started on the plane. Usually I always finish them, but this was a shorter flight coming back from Albuquerque. So I need to finish half of the book. I can't even remember the name of it. I'm so tired. And that's the thing is, like, I don't read as much. I read on planes, but like when I'm here, my eyes start to get blurry by the end of the night. I probably need to get my vision checked by now. But like, you know, you kind of just want to zone out. I'm either on TikTok or I'm watching TV. But yeah, I haven't really watched too much this week that I can think of. You never watched Beef or Big Mistakes?
Nope.
Yeah, you got to watch those.
Nope.
So good. Get on
I'm
it.
The same as you. I don't have time. I just don't have time.
I know.
I wish I did, but I don't. I just don't.
Who has time for all that?
Someday.
I like your shirt. That's very cute. She has cute little like polo, like nautical, like knit striped cutie. I like it.
And it's like constant. It's like collar is popped.
Yeah,
I like
you're giving
green
yacht vibes. I'm very
let's
green
get
today.
On my yacht. I love it.
Do you want to kick
Should
us
we
off?
Do this? Let's get into it. Yes, I will kick it off. So this is from Reddit, and Camping and Hiking writes, I fight wildland fires for the USFS. A decent amount of my summer is spent in small to extremely large fire camps. A couple of years ago, our crew was fighting a fire in northern Washington. We all have our own tents spaced very closely to one another. At the time, we were first responders and the camp was basically just us. As you might imagine, the work is tough and can take a toll on your body. And a lot of the time, you may have only 6 or 7 hours of sleep per day. I'm like, 6 or 7 hours? That's a lot.
That's a dream.
Well, I was jolted awake by the most painful glute hamstring cramp you can possibly imagine. My whole body went rigid responding to the pain. Has that ever happened to you?
The old Charlie horse. That only happened when I was pregnant. It happened to me when I was pregnant where I would get cramps in my legs. But thankfully, I don't have that anymore. That was horrible. It was really awful.
That must be. Yeah, especially when you're pregnant. You're like, oh. My leg flexed and trembled against the wall of my single-person tent. I moaned in pain, cursing, fuck, ah. I managed to pull my leg out of the cramp. Relief washing over me, I exclaimed, oh, dear God, yes. This happened right at our designated call to work time, 5:30 a.m. Everyone in my crew heard me and saw my tent rattle and shake. I still haven't lived it down.
Oh, man, they're like, that guy is really over there having fun with himself.
I love how you just say it. You kept that very demure.
He is really over there
having some fun.
Having a good time by himself. Okay, my first story comes from Cora, and Lauren Collinson writes, I got home around 1:30 a.m. I am not sober. It's unseasonably warm, and I'm wearing a light jacket that had been shoved in my closet for several months. I completely forgot about the pocket structure of this coat. This will be relevant later. My dog needs to pee, so I take her for a 15-minute walk around the block of my densely populated neighborhood. We get back to the main entrance of my 3-unit building, of which I live on the middle floor, and it's nearly 2 a.m. I'm exhausted and beyond excited to get to bed. I realize my keys are not in either of my pockets. I do the whole frantic pat-down routine and curse myself and then quickly realize this is not a big deal. One of my neighbors is sure to be home to let me in the main entrance. I know my door to my actual unit is unlocked. Whew, all set. I ring the bell of my upstairs neighbor, who I know typically stays up pretty late on the weekends. I rang that bell 20 times. Shit.
Oh my God.
There's no answer. I reluctantly ring the bell of my downstairs neighbor, who I know is the early to bed, early to rise type. I feel really bad. Oh, I ring his bell 25 times.
Oh my God.
He's going to be so angry with me, but I've never done this before. He shouldn't be too angry. There's no answer. This is not good. On top of this, my phone has 3% battery. One call and it will surely die. Who is the one person who will be awake, hear the phone ring during a dead sleep, and be willing to help me out at 2 a.m.? It's a huge gamble. I've had 4 very strong beers in the past hour, double IPAs. I'm not.
Damn.
I know. So you have it at 8 beers.
How are you standing?
I'm not thinking clearly. This is a lot of pressure. I weigh some more options. I have several friends in the area who would be a 10-minute walk normally, but remember, I have my dog with me. She has little legs, and she struggles to keep pace with me. It would take at least three times as long to walk anywhere with her, and even then, I don't even know if my friends are home or will hear their bell ring if they're asleep. It's also the middle of the night and not safe for a petite female to be walking the city streets alone. So obviously, my next logical conclusion... What's your next logical conclusion? I always like to hear what you would do.
Are they gonna call? I mean, who would I call?
Or what would you do? What's your next logical conclusion?
I mean, I'd probably sleep outside.
With the
dog?
What
about you?
I mean, at that point, if you've already like banged on every door, like,
yeah. I'd have to go like find a little shady grove. What about you? What would you do? You'd do that too?
I'd probably do the walk to the closest friends, I guess, and just crash on their couch, maybe.
Okay. Because I feel like I don't think I have anyone I could call that early in the morning.
Yeah, it's pretty early.
I'll be awake. Well, John. But anyway, go on.
So obviously, my next logical conclusion in my drunken stupor is to kick my door in.
No way. That's terrifying.
This is much harder for a 125-pound female than it looks when they do it on Law & Order SVU and save the dying child in the nick of time. I keep trying anyway. After 15 pretty solid roundhouse kicks, thanks, Tybo, I've made some progress, but not enough. The door has budged about a quarter inch from the door jamb. This is taking a lot of effort, and now my foot hurts.
Wow.
She's roundhouse kicked the door 15 times in the middle of the night at 2 a.m.
You think someone would wake up?
I'm sure my form wasn't right. Chuck Norris would not be proud. Neither will my neighbors when they realize I've completely fucked up the door. I step back outside to regroup. Then I see a gaggle of kids in their late teens walking towards me. Thank God these truants are out past their bedtimes. I ask if any of them knows how to pick a lock. They're my last hope.
Oh, great. Okay.
One excited young man steps forward and says he can pick any lock with a credit card. I tell him to have a crack at it. He opens the door in less than 5 seconds. I am, one, incredibly grateful that I can now enter the lobby of my building, and two, slightly disturbed that my door is that easy to open with a credit card. I also hope this hoodlum doesn't try to come back and steal from me at a later date. So far, he hasn't.
That's amazing.
I thank the group profusely and don't even consider the fact that they didn't question whether or not I actually live in this building. Anyway, I head upstairs with my dog to locate my damn keys, except they're nowhere to be found. I check my bathroom, my bed, my coat pockets again, just in case. How stupid would that be? Nothing. I must have dropped them outside, of course. I grab a flashlight and head out to retrace my route, being very careful to leave the main door of the building open this time. I spend about 10 minutes retracing my steps and asking passersby if they've seen a set of keys. There's a bar right down the street, so people are milling about at 2:15 a.m. I find no trace of keys anywhere outside. Defeated, I return home. I think about all the keys that I'm going to have to get remade, especially that stupid little mailbox key that only the post office can issue. How the fuck do I get one of those? And how long do I have to wait for that? What if something important is sitting in there? Ugh, now I get angry. How the fuck do I just lose a whole set of keys in a matter of minutes? I'm angrily pacing around the kitchen. What a stupid fucking situation to be in. I feel like someone is screwing with me. Things just don't disappear like this. Now I have to pay to have my door fixed. How much does a new door cost?
Oh my God, this guy is going in a spiral.
It's a girl. Finally, I take off my coat. I go to hang it up, and only then do I realize it weighs a tad more than a very light coat should. I squeeze the pocket area of both sides again, just for fun. I feel something familiar. Several small objects with jagged edges. Something that feel oddly like a set of keys. It can't be, but it is. The motherfuckers are in a pocket of this jacket I forgot even existed. A pocket above, yet behind the normal angled pockets that most jackets have. The ones I checked 18 times. Who the fuck designed this coat and made a secret pocket that I somehow managed to lose my keys in? I had them the whole time. And now I have a broken door and a Boston area teen who knows just how easy it is to break into my place.
Oh my God. That it was a whirlwind.
It's a roller coaster.
That's why you don't drink 4 double IPAs.
I thought she was going to get locked out again and the door was going to get closed somehow.
Yeah, she was going to get closed and she'd just be like spending the night looking through the grass. I hate it when I lose something. Like, I can't go to sleep unless I find it.
And when you actually have it, that's happened to me before too, when the keys have been like in my bag and I spend forever looking and retracing your steps forever and they're like in there and you somehow miss them. It's so annoying.
Yeah, it's so annoying. That's crazy. Or like, you're like, where are my glasses? And they're on your head.
Where's that my phone? It's in your hand.
Yeah. You're like talking to someone. I can't find
my
phone.
I lost my phone. I can't find it. They're like, okay. Like,
go to urgent care now. All right. So this is from a sailboat owners forum. And AgPrice 22 writes, and I just want to give you a disclaimer. There is a lot of sailboat jargon in here. Okay. So you sailboaters out there, this one's for you.
This one's for you. We're talking hulls. We're talking masts. We're talking. We're talking one of those things called. We're talking about the ropes. Katie, we're talking about the knots. We're talking about the sailing.
Do you want to be a translator for the story?
You are dressed for the occasion. Okay.
You're right. You're right. Okay, well, I'm going to perfectly pronounce all this then. I bought and refurbished an old US 1 while I was in college. Once I had it done, I took it up to Lake Santa Fe outside Melrose, Florida with my wife. She'd never sailed, so she was a little trepidatious. I set up the boat on shore and prepared to launch. There was a brisk breeze out of the south, and we were on the west shore in a small clearing behind a storefront restaurant with people on the deck watching. The sleeve sail shook and snapped on the mast as I dragged the boat into warm, knee-deep water in a small, sandy break in the tall lake grass. I had my wife climb in the boat, and I showed her how to release the centerboard. I readied the rudder to flip down. I turned the boat off the wind, gave it a big shove, and climbed aboard and flipped the rudder down. I hauled the main sheet, and the boat took off. She was heeled about 5 or 6 degrees and accelerating. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? Are you following this, Katie?
Yeah, I am.
Do you know what
sailing
heeled
camp
means?
Did you know that?
What's heeled mean? What does that mean?
I went to sailing camp when I was like 13, 14. Yeah.
Why have you not told us one story about it?
Because honestly, it's a blur. I mean, I don't really remember much.
Did you get hit in the head?
Maybe. Maybe I did. I probably did. Yeah, nothing notable. Yeah.
What does heeled mean then? Do you know? She was heeled about 5 or 6 degrees. She was heeled about 5 or 6 degrees and accelerating.
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Katie, you
heel usually means stop, right? No, I'm not a professional sailor by any means. Like I said, I was a baby. And I blacked out a lot when I was drinking, okay? I got a lot of holes in my brain. There's a lot of stories I don't remember.
I just picture you being like,
that's why I don't drink anymore. I can't.
Oh my God. I just imagine you like drunk sailing and it's so funny. About 5 seconds later, the rudder popped right out of the gudgeons and slipped the tiller out of my hand. Are you on the edge of your seats? Mm-hmm. I looked back to see the rudder quickly receding behind us. In a snap decision, I launched myself after it. Once in the water, I swam toward the rudder and then looked back to see the boat still sailing. My wife was screaming for me when the boat heeled over and dumped her in the water. I swam out with the rudder, righted the boat, got the rudder and my wife back aboard. She was not too happy. I'm glad we were both wearing ski vests. I hauled everything back to shore. Thinking back, I cannot be sure we got to sail that day. As I recall, the spring clip that held the rudder fitting in the gudgeon bent.
Sorry, what is this random story?
I tried to hold it together the whole
time. So random.
I couldn't do it. I could never, ever work for a sailboating like advertising company. Okay, woo, I'm almost at the end. Oh, I'm crying. It's so crazy. So complicated. I don't think she sailed on that lake with me again, except for maybe one time on a windless day with a couple of friends.
Yeah, I don't blame her. I wouldn't be getting on there either. You get dumped in the water. You don't know what you're doing, buddy.
Your rudder is all and then you sail
your way,
up.
Okay?
Yeah.
Get it together. I thought the rudder was a thing underneath. It's not.
It is.
So detached from the boat? It shouldn't detach from the boat, right?
am I pretending like I know what I'm talking about?
I don't know why I am either, but that's what I thought it was. I thought the rudder was underneath, but maybe I'm wrong. I probably am because it's been a long time.
Sorry, Katie's sailing camp counselor. We know you're a fan.
I couldn't even tell you who it was. I got to tell you. Couldn't even tell you who it was.
You forgot their name.
Oh, of course. Are you kidding me? I couldn't tell you any of my camp counselors' names. Not a single one. Not a single one.
I never went to camp. Go on.
You never went to camp?
Nope.
I loved camp. It was really fun.
I went to Camp Shellheart. I have three other siblings, so we were like scurrying around getting poison ivy every summer.
Good old poison ivy. Poison ivy on your butt.
Okay. On your butt.
This next story comes from Cora, and Caitlin Weller writes, I'm extremely impulsive, so I tend to act first and think last. This is something I've spent a lifetime trying to unlearn. I've done things and looked back in disbelief that I was even inhabiting my own body when they happened. But when I look back, I think maybe that was the most dumb thing I ever did. It was probably during childhood. My parents were close friends with a married couple who were more like an aunt and uncle to us. One winter when I was around 9 or 10, we went to visit them for a weekend vacation. They had a large man-made koi pond in the front yard, which was frozen over due to the extreme cold. You probably already know where this is going. One of the first things the family told us when we arrived was that the ice over the pond was extremely thin and not safe to walk on top of.
No, I know what's going to happen.
Instantly, my young brain told me I just had to walk on this ice.
This is not good.
Let her intrusive thoughts win.
There was
no way I'm going to fall through. I just knew it. I spent the whole weekend plotting how I was going to get on that ice. On the last night of our visit, I still hadn't done it, and I was itching for my chance. It was dark outside, and I asked my mom, can I just go to the car quickly to get something?
She's just going to walk out on ice that's going to break?
She's 9 or 10. Where do you get the balls, the audacity? I love it.
I'd be terrified.
Whatever you do, don't walk on this ice. She's like, I gotta walk on that ice.
It's been 2 days and I haven't walked on that.
I gotta get on that ice before we leave. We're about to leave. I gotta get on that ice. She's so desperate. It's hilarious.
It's so funny.
My mom obliged and I set out directly for the pond. The pond was surrounded with brick outlining, so there was no way someone could just accidentally step onto it. Without hesitation, I immediately stepped over the brick and onto the ice. I didn't even hear it crack before I was underwater, surrounded by dead frozen fish.
Oh my God.
I couldn't swim and I couldn't get my head above water to scream for help.
She's crazy.
She can't even swim and she did that. That's the true definition of an intrusive thought winning. She probably has undiagnosed OCD because
racing.
Yeah, you can't stop thinking about something.
Did she die that day? Is this a ghost writing the story?
this is a ghost that wrote the story.
How'd she get out?
I'm not sure if I understood death, but I definitely remember feeling like I'd really done it this time. Thankfully, my parents' friends had a feeling that I was plotting to get on the ice. So they came looking for me only a few moments after I went outside. They quickly scooped me up out of the ice water and just chuckled and shook their heads. I still remember the shock in my mom's eyes when she saw my drenched body, and I remember the red pajamas they changed me into. My impulsivity and knack for getting myself into trouble hasn't changed much with time, but I avoid iced over ponds at all costs now. Yeah, girl, get yourself checked for some OCD because I think you got some undiagnosed OCD, and that's okay. Just get yourself checked.
You need to get some swim lessons.
Yeah. Yeah, get some swim lessons.
Swim lessons and some OCD analysis. Whoa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's terrifying because what if no one had seen her? She would have drowned.
She would have, yeah.
She would have drowned that day.
I was like, damn, that's a big freaking koi pond.
It's a koi pond. Yeah, seriously. And she's also dead fish. That's so terrifying.
Well, I think the fish actually aren't. This is what I've heard because we have a koi pond in the back that it's it needs to be rehabilitated, but it's the space for a koi pond. So eventually I do want to do that. But what I've heard, because I was like, how do they survive the winter? And from what I've heard, they literally freeze and they are under the surface hibernating and they come back to life. So they probably weren't dead. But I don't know if she messed them up by breaking the ice seal. Maybe they're dead because she broke the ice seal. I don't know. But
yeah, they were having a party and they get slammed in the head by some kids' boots. Then she kicks them all as she's trying to get out of the water.
She killed all the koi fish. But
she ruined that party. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. That's a good one. That's terrifying. But mm-hmm. I'm glad it turned out better. I'm glad it turned out okay. Red pajamas. Okay. This is from Reddit, and Glinda writes, picture a very hot summer day, a group of college students, and a brand new water slide that just opened up nearby. Unfortunately, I didn't have a swimsuit with me, but my hostess, who was slightly bigger than I was, lent me one of hers. It was a bit loose, but it was okay. So we all drove over to the water slide and trudged up the hill to the top of the slide. I sat on the rubber mat and started down the water slide. All was fun until, remember that slightly oversized swimsuit? It was a bikini, a rather skimpy one. Well, the force of the water loosened the bottoms and I could feel it slip down around my hips, then my knees, and finally my ankles, which I quickly crossed so I wouldn't lose them altogether.
Nightmare.
What?
Nightmare.
Oh, I thought you said you were been you'd been there. I was like, oh snap. I mean, it is a nightmare.
I would have told that on here. That's a nightmare.
I know. That would have been like the first story. At this point, there was really nothing else I could do. Just then I reached the splash pool at the end of the ride, reached down, shimmied back into the rest of the suit, and made eye contact with the teenage catcher who had a very big smile on his face. He just saw like someone's like vagina coming right in his face as he was
literally
catching her. I tell myself he was just enjoying his job, but we all know better.
Oh, yuck.
I know.
No, that's mortifying. I remember we had one of those like little parks that had the like rubber mats. Did you ever go on those? That kind?
Yeah. I love them.
Yeah. Summertime.
Whenever
luckily,
I'm
I did
on a
not
tube.
Have a bathing suit malfunction on there, but.
Whenever I'm on a tube, I always turn around. Somehow I like turn myself around and then I'm like going backwards.
I hate that.
Sucks. Yeah. But that's easier for your pants to fall off that way.
True.
Not speaking from experience. Next story, please.
My next story comes from Quora, and David Wilkerson writes, I took my wrestling team to a summer camp at a large public university during my first year in the position. I was given my own room in the dorm and hence I slept in the nude. I didn't think about the possibility that I might sleepwalk, having never done so before or since, to my knowledge. Sure enough, I woke up outside, naked.
Oh, no.
It was after midnight, so there was no one awake, and I was locked out of the dorm. Seeing my educational career fading before my eyes, I hid in the bushes for a while. Yeah, because like, okay, the counselor is freaking naked. Like, what is happening?
And also crouched in the bushes for a while. His butt, like twigs up his butt.
Then I remembered my car had a dysfunctional back window, which could be manually lowered with pressure from the outside. I dodged and weaved my way to the parking lot, once having to hide in a dark corner while some summer co-eds giggled past me.
That's so scary.
I have never been so relieved as I was to climb into my back window and don an old pair of boxers I had left behind. In the morning, a friendly wrestler helped me gain entry to the dorm unscathed. Sleeping in the buff lost much of its luster after that narrow escape, but I do try to keep clean underwear in my glove box.
Oh my God. So
yeah, because probably
do you
too,
do?
They're like, ew, you're a teacher. Like, what were you doing naked out here? Like, were you hooking up with a co-ed? Like, where, you know, like the whole thing is like creepy.
So creepy.
But he just slept.
Did he say who helped him? A wrestler?
Yeah, it was a wrestling match. He was the wrestling coach.
Oh, wrestling match. Okay. What do you do if you're walking along at nighttime, you're like giggling with your co-eds and you look in the bushes and you just see like this like
scream.
Naked.
Scream and call the cops, because that's what you should do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times do you think in your life that you've been walking down the street, but there's someone naked like in the bushes somewhere?
It's happened. It's
I'm sure it's
happened.
It sure happens to all
these
of us.
These days, everybody's got a phone and you're going to video it and you're going to send it directly to the cops.
You're going to live stream it.
You're going to shine your flashlight from your phone and you're going to say, we got you, buddy. No dark corners.
We got your butt. Get your butt on camera, ballsy. Okay. This is from Texas Bill on Reddit. And he writes, one morning I was warming up on a treadmill when this attractive girl stopped at a somewhat awkward place right in front of me to start doing what must have been stretches, but what at least to my sleep-deprived and caffeine-overdosed brain looked like something best described as slow-motion twerking.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Maybe that's a stretch, but I mean, her perfect bottom was right at my face and I was pitching quite a tent by the time I won back the control of my mind. I'm not sure if she ever noticed, but the girl on the cross trainer certainly did, as did the female staff member who chose that very moment to come wipe the floor next to my treadmill for what seemed like forever. She was all smiles the next time I said hi at the desk. Wasn't sure if I should switch gyms or ask her out on a date.
Switch gyms.
He's like, you've seen my...
But it wasn't even, the boner wasn't even for her, right?
No, right. It was for the slow motion twerker. But he's like, hey, maybe if you liked what you saw, let's go out, let's go to Chili's. Hey, wow, anyone like Chili's?
Chili's? A little Olive Garden for you?
Okay.
Hey. A little Twig and Berries
for my 16th birthday. Stop. You're tarnishing the memory of my sweet 16. Okay.
My last story comes from Quora, and Teresa Coe writes, it was about 6 a.m. and still dark outside our hotel. I had been on a road trip for a week with three friends, and they were outside waiting by our airport bus when I realized that complimentary pastries were available in the reception area. Free food! Yes. I had crammed in a couple of gorgeous Danish pastries when the bus started hooting its horn. I thought that was so hilarious. She didn't say honking. She said hooting its horn.
Hooting.
That bus was hooting. You better get your booty out there for the hooting.
Get your booty out there.
Seeing my friends, I walked towards them, stopping suddenly only when I felt a hard thump to my right eyebrow. What the fuck? Now, you should know I am not a morning person, and I'm a bit light intolerant and wobbly at 6 a.m., so I had on prescription sunglasses instead of my regular specs, and I was using my stick for balance. I had another go. See friends. Hear bus honk. Walk towards it. Bam! This time, the pain was enough to bring me fully awake. What is happening? Where is this coming from? Almost immediately, I felt a pair of hands on my shoulders, guiding me slightly to the side and towards my friends. Hey guys, I called out, still in pain, but feeling both relieved and thoroughly confused about what had happened. The receptionist who led me to them started shouting furiously in Spanish. They looked at him blankly. None of them speak much Spanish. In hindsight, it was hilarious. In my sleepy state and my dark glasses, I couldn't see the glass and the sliding doors that divided me from my friends. Hence, I walked into a glass door, not once, but twice. When I realized my mistake, I was so embarrassed that I thanked the receptionist profusely and didn't correct him about my apparent blindness. So the guy shouting at them on Spanish, like, what the hell's the matter with you? Your friend is blind and you just leave them here to like get on the bus? He's like, that's so rude. Like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, I have to help her get on this bus because you guys are just going to like let her keep walking into the door. I continue to have a lot of fun with my black eye once I'm back in the Canary Islands. I had a male flatmate at the time. And whenever a student asked me what happened to my eye, I would jerk my head in his direction and say, ask him. For some strange reason, he never found it as funny as I did.
That's really good. I would have done the same thing. I would have just pretended like I was blind.
And she's like, what? Dude, what? What? Why is this happening? What? She like could not see the glass door. This, I love the guide that comes out and he just like grabs her shoulders and he's like, what the fuck, you guys? Like, yeah. She's blind. Get her on the bus.
She's brave enough. She ventured for us. She picked two Danishes effortlessly off the rack.
She did it.
She was almost clear.
That's that.
She's not blind.
That's our show. We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. It helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join us.
Join us.
See you next week.